Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
This week was quite different for me, and I normally try to get the teaching and things like that, things that I was going to be teaching on, prepared and done throughout the week. And I had everything planned and prepared for this Sunday out of Galatians. And of course, like you, I'm sure you heard about the whole military thing that just took place yesterday with the stealth bombers being sent in there to Iran and the bombing and things like that. And, you know, we know that tensions have been kind of running a little high, right? Even the past couple weeks with things going on. And possibly, like me, you probably had a lot of thoughts in your mind thinking, you know, what is happening? Where are we at? Right? What's going on? Maybe some anxious thoughts. Maybe you've even been hearing different things here and there. I did a Google search last night about 11:30 on what was being searched for the most in the last 4 hours. Okay, so this is things that people have been looking for. So here's the things that people were Googling: Are we in World War III? Who is the Iran leader? Who is Iran allies with? Who are the U.S. allies? What is the Iran nuclear deal? Is China allies with Iran? Where are the sleeper cells? Right? I mean, these are questions people were asking about things that are going on. If you follow any type of Christian media or Christian-based news, you probably even heard some end-time prophecy things coming up recently, or even discussions amongst other believers in Christ. I know that we were over at Jonas and Diana's yesterday, and just even some of those questions, right, coming up, people wanting to know. And so when things like these world events come up, people question, is this a sign of the end? Is this it? Are we there, right? I think those are good questions to ask. It is wise to understand the times that we are living in. Revelation 1:3 tells us, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." And so it's wise to understand the times in which we are living in, but have a good biblical foundation, right? How we view those things of what is taking place. And so I think we all want to know, you know, for some it's very fascinating. People like hearing all this stuff. For others, it's very terrifying. It's fearful, right? And I thought it'd be good for us to look at these verses here in Matthew 24 here this morning to kind of reemphasize Jesus' words about the things that happen that we may be thinking are the end. And very simply, Jesus tells us, do not be alarmed. You hear these things, you see these things, do not be alarmed. We must remember that we are not to be wringing our hands in anxiousness, right? Is this it? Is this it? Is this the time, right? But rather, we are to be resting confidently in Jesus as He is our Savior and only hope, right, for salvation. And He's our only hope for being rescued out of this sinful world, right? We are waiting for His appearing. And so here's what I want you to take away with you this morning here. Don't let the events of what you see or hear distract you or deceive you from following Jesus. Don't let the events of what you see or hear distract you or deceive you from following Jesus. So let's take note here, a few things here out of Matthew 24, 1 through 8. Here in Matthew 24, this is known as the Olivet Discourse because Jesus has come there and He's teaching His disciples, and He comes to the Mount Olivet and He begins this discourse about the end. And it really spurs from a question His disciples ask Because Jesus there in verse 1 and 2, he talks about, don't you see this temple? Don't you see these stones? All these things are going to be torn down. And that really did happen in 70 AD, right? Titus came through there in Jerusalem and demolished that second temple that was built. And the disciples wanting to know, when will these things happen? When will these things be? You can also find this All of It discourse in Mark 13 and Luke 21. But notice the question of the disciples, verse 3. When will these things be, and what will be the sign? When Jesus was telling his disciples about the end, he tells them what to look for, signs. Signs, if you will, are markers. Think of road signs. Lincoln Highway. I was growing up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The big thing out there, get your kicks on Route 66, right? And there are parts of Route 66 that you can still travel. Some of it's been taken over by I-40, but there are still parts where you can travel the two-lane road, Route 66, and go through there. And so signs tell us location. I'm sure most of you that may have children or have had children, maybe going on a trip, one of the things that you get from your child will be, are we, right? Where's the sign? Where are we at, right? So there are other road signs also that warn us or alert us of danger. Sometimes we see signs, ice on bridge, beware of falling rocks, sharp turn ahead, deer crossing, all those things. Now here in Jesus' teaching, there are two main road signs. Signs to let us know where we are at in the scope of history, either in the end or approaching, and signs of warning. So let's read these verses here and see if you can see the signs of location and the signs of warning here, right? As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. The first signs Jesus tells us about is to warn us. And he's warning us. And we'll come back to that here in just a moment. But let's look at these other signs here of location. Okay. Here in verse 6 through 8, he tells us these signs of location. The signs are telling us where we are in the scope of history. He says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of birth pangs. And so here, verses 6 and 8 and other passages like these are signs of location, where we are at in the scope of history. Jesus here talks about these birth pains, and it tells us to pay attention. The baby's not here yet, but let's pay attention. Because if these contractions increase, grab the bag, it's time to go, right? Is an earthquake or a famine a sign of the end? Not necessarily. But when we see an increase in frequency and intensity, the birth pains, the contractions, right, are getting stronger, they're getting closer together, we know that we're going and getting closer to Christ's return. The point is that there will be all kinds of catastrophes, crazy events that will be taking place, man-made and natural. But when we get to the end, these things will be on an apocalyptic scale. There will be no question at all. It'll be unquestionable. We're probably not going to be looking around and wondering, is this really the end? I think we'll know. As I look at this, when the official end begins, I'm confident that we will know. There will be no mistake about it that we are there. Look at verse number 11 in Matthew chapter 24, if you have your Bibles there. Jesus says, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." So it's not going to be catastrophe here and a war here, famine here. This is going to be game on. Depending on your eschatology, that's a big word. The idea of understanding how God is at work and what God is doing prior to his return. Some believe that, Jesus is going to come back before all these really bad things happen. Some believe that Jesus is going to come back kind of in the middle of those things. Some believe that Jesus will come back at the end of those things. Whatever your eschatology is, where you stand on all of that, there are still these signs that tell us where we are. You are here, and the end times are up ahead, 20 miles. Or you are here and you've entered apocalyptic land. Enjoy the ride. Right? So in all of these signs, we are told not to be alarmed at what we are seeing, where we are location-wise. So we have these signs of location. Let's look now at other signs of warning here. Okay? So we have these warning signs. These are the signs, danger, pay attention, right? Grizzly bears ahead, feeding. Do not go out by yourself, right? Interesting. I think as people, we have this ability that we ignore the warning signs, don't we? We don't pay attention. That can't be good. And when it comes to Christ's return, it would be unwise to ignore the warning signs. So what are the warning signs? Notice Jesus doesn't warn us about earthquakes. Be careful where you step. He doesn't say, the floor is lava. Don't step on a crack. Right? What does he warn us about? He's not warning us about earthquakes and famines and wars because earthquakes and famines and wars are not the things that deceive us and cause us to go astray. I believe sometimes we focus more on the signs of location, where we are. Is this the end? Right? Rather than the signs of warnings. As far as I can tell, all the warnings here deal with deception and falling away from the faith. Remember who he was talking to. He's talking to his disciples, right? And he's warning them about this. He's warning them and us that you need to make sure you are following Christ. You need to make sure that your salvation is in Christ. Listen carefully. Look at the warning. Verse 4. And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." Why the warning? Why does he give us a warning? Look at verse number 5. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." Look at verse number 11. "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." Listen to verses 23 through 26 in Matthew 24. "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Notice that Jesus warns us of two types of people here. Watch out for false messiahs and false prophets. What are these? Well, false messiahs. What is a messiah? A messiah is one who says, "I am the way, I am the Savior." Might even say you can have your Jesus, but you also need to have me. Or you can have your Christianity, but I will show you more. A false messiah ultimately wants to replace the Son of God, Jesus Christ. A false messiah ultimately wants our adoration, our allegiance, our trust. A false messiah will deny God the Most High, Jesus, his Son, who came in the flesh, born of a virgin, who died on a cross and rose again. And Jesus is warning us and saying, look, if you really want to look for signs, look for the false Messiah. Another interesting thing that I came across when I was looking at what people were Googling was, is Trump the Antichrist? Right? Crazy stuff. But there are false messiahs. Jesus says, watch out because many will fall away. Don't be one of them. We don't need another messiah. We already have one, don't we? Jesus. He's already been here and he's coming back, as he said, as he promised. And when he does, we who are in Christ will know it. Even Paul warned of this in 1 Thessalonians about being deceived. He said, don't be deceived by word. Don't be deceived by letter, right? Or that Christ has already returned, right? Don't be deceived by that. Secondly, he tells us about false prophets. What do prophets do? If a Messiah says, I am the way, a prophet says, he is the way. A prophet is one who is pointing to the Messiah, this false Messiah, right? And is saying, follow him, listen to him, he's the one, he's the way. They speak on behalf of them. They point people toward them. A false prophet will always point toward a false Messiah and a false doctrine. So Jesus gives us a warning about the end. Make sure of your faith in Jesus. Examine yourself if you are in the faith, because if you are not, you will be led astray by a false Messiah and a false prophet. So be warned about those things. Here's the last thing. What does this mean for us today? Jesus describes events that sound chaotic and fearful, doesn't he? Wars, natural disasters, an upheaval, right? But he also offers a calm reminder. Look what he says here. See that you are not alarmed. Now notice, after that statement, there's not a period there, is there? What do you see? Here's my English experts, come on. Not a period, but a what? A comma. There's a pause, right? Because there's extra information, right? It'd be one thing if Jesus says, hey, all this crazy stuff's going to happen, but don't worry, don't be alarmed. All right, let's go. No, he offers extra information there, and he says, do not be alarmed, comma. What's on that other side of the comma? For this must take place. Is there a period after that? No, there's another comma, right? More information. But the end is not yet. This must take place implies a what? A plan. This must take place. That word must there implies divine necessity. It has to happen. This must take place. What must take place? Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines. God is using all of this for his providential purposes. Power for his plan. But these things that must take place should not be interpreted as the end. And see, as we get closer and closer to the end, expect to hear more and more of these things, right? World conflict. Everything that's going chaotic, right? But the end is a good thing. We're moving to the end. What is the end? The return of Jesus Christ. And he uses this illustration of birth pains, right? I don't think there is any woman out there that, prior to having the baby, getting in the car, going over there, and then the contractions start, they're probably not going, oh man, this is great, right? No, their body is going through a necessity, right? Things that have to happen to get to the end, right? To the crowning, right? To the baby comes. These things have to happen. But the end is a good thing, isn't it? There's a baby. There's a child, right? It's a good, good thing. And so the result of that is joy. So where does that leave us? We must not be distracted, rather engaged with our relationship with Christ, because just as he is providentially present in all of the things that must take place, he will also be there till the end of the age, just as he promised us. So the end is not yet. Don't let the events of this world freak you out or distract you. So here's three quick things to be engaged in your relationship with Christ. Number one, make sure your calling and election. Make sure of it. 2 Peter 1:10 reminds us, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Peter was writing to believers who were facing difficult times, and he told them this, and we need to be actively striving to confirm our salvation and demonstrate our commitment to the gospel. This is ongoing, right? Don't live in this idea of thinking, well, boy, this is it. I'm just going to kind of give up. No. As believers in Christ, we need to continue in the gospel, striving to the very end, right? That's what we are supposed to be doing. Secondly, continue in the things that you have learned. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Right? Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he continues on and he tells them, he says, verse 10, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. And he tells them that while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, he says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And from the child you have learned the Holy Scriptures, right? And so as believers in Christ, we don't need to be so alarmed by everything that's going on. We need to be focused in and engaged in our relationship with Jesus Christ oh so much more. We need to be continuing in the things that we have learned. What have we learned? The Scriptures, right? We continue in Scripture. We continue in the faith. Jesus, talking with the disciples when there was so much uncertainty on the evening of his death, said, abide in me, abide in my words, right? Know his truth, be committed to his truth, abide in his truth. Thirdly, be committed to sharing the gospel. If the end is not yet, there's still much work to be done. Right? We have so many opportunities. Continue to share Christ with others. Continue to share the gospel, how Christ has transformed your life and how he's making all things new, right? Share Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection with your family, with friends, with coworkers, right? Talk about Jesus. If the end is not yet, we still have time, right? So continue in all of those things. So don't be alarmed. Jesus is still in control. Don't be distracted. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.